In your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews 11 in your Bibles, please. We have been studying the understanding, the idea of faith in out of the book of Hebrews. We've been here for a few weeks, and we have just a few more, I guess, to go. We're looking at nearly every verse in Hebrews 11, and each of these we have broken up into sections, and it gives us a description of a different type of faith that we need in our lives. And so we're looking at these systematically, and not only are we looking at the faith that is taught to us by the character study that we have before us, but also the enemies of our faith that fight against us in each of those areas. And we're taking it all from Scripture. So if you will, I'm going to have you go to verse number 20, please. Now, we studied last Sunday two Sundays ago. Brother Morris was with us last Sunday morning and preached for us. And in verses number 20 and 21, we'll read those. And that we learned, faith for sanctification is what is taught us there. And we're going to look at verse number 22, but we're going to begin reading in verse number 20. Hebrews 11 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." And again, you can go back. It is on the website, and you can listen to the faith for sanctification, faith for being made holy, and understanding what that means. But now we go to verse number 22, and we'll study this verse today. It says, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." And if you're familiar with Joseph, and at the end of Genesis, you understand what is being spoken of there. But I want us to see this morning, as we study, faith for surrender. Faith for surrender in our lives. The Lord asks us to surrender. We're going to speak briefly about that. But it's going to require faith for us to do that. We'll not get through surrender without faith. But there are going to be enemies, and we're going to learn about them this morning. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask you to be with us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to increase our faith. Lord, every student this morning, I ask for them to make some decisions this year that would help to shape their lives. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us adults, Lord, our college and career. Lord, I pray that each of us would make decisions this year that would help, Lord, to shape our lives. Dear God, I pray that you would help each of us to see the areas in our lives that you're dealing with. Lord, that song that has been sung for so many years, that God's not finished with me. Lord, I pray you would help us to understand that, Lord, until we are departed, until we either go to heaven through death, or we go to heaven through the rapture, Lord, you're not finished with us. Lord, you're working on us. And I pray that we would see that. I pray that we would surrender our lives and our will to you this morning. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Wonderful. I hope this morning you know that
Joseph, and of course it speaks in verse number 21, the faith that Jacob displayed when he was dying, blessing the sons of Joseph. And then it steps right in verse number 22 and speaks directly about Joseph and his death, and making mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Of course, at this particular point, when it's speaking of Joseph, and calling to our memory the fact that Joseph was going to be used by God, he was placed by God in a position that he would be used to take the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt always describes the world to the born-again believer. The land of Egypt is always that which that should be shunned, that we should put a barrier up between us and the world, us and the land of Egypt, have no desire to go back to that land. And so in verse number 22, we read where Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And of course, he did. He had given commandment that his bones would be carried and not be buried there in Egypt. In Egypt at the end of Genesis. And so that's what we're the verse that we're looking at. And as you might say, well, Pastor, how do you get surrender out of that verse? Well, I get surrender out of the life of Joseph. I don't suppose that we could see any greater example. There are many great examples of surrender in the Bible. And you'll have noticed already, I'm sure you've been here through the study of Hebrews. Each one of these, it names a particular individual. Now, as we get to the very last one, it groups a bunch of individuals together. But it names particular individuals. It's a character study of Old Testament saints is what's going on here. Because Paul is writing to these Hebrew men, those who are looking back back to the ritualism, the sacrifices that had been given prior to the Messiah, prior to the coming of Christ. Now they're born again. These men that are being written to, these women, they're born again believers. But they were going back to the sacrifices again. And so Paul is writing them, reminding them of the faith of their ancestors. And these weren't just individuals that Paul pulled out of the air. These were individuals that they knew well about. Well, they had studied the Torah. They had studied the scriptures that they had at that particular point. And they knew about the life of Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Isaac and Joseph and those that we'll see in the upcoming weeks. They knew the lives. They knew about Abel as it begins over here. They knew about Enoch and all of these that we have already studied. So it's a character. It's a great character study. But as I said, I don't know that we could find, or at least I can say this, that Joseph is as equal of a description of surrender as I would say that anyone else in the Bible is. The life of Joseph is a fascinating study, to be honest. It seems a very simple life. There's the book of Genesis contains what we know about Joseph, other than snippets of information in the New Testament that speak about it, of course. And we're not given a whole lot of chapters. There are people like Paul that we read a great deal about. Other individuals, Joseph, we read not so much about. But yet we can see in his life, we can see a great deal of surrender. The word surrender is defined as this. Now listen, if you will. To cease resistance to an opponent and to submit to their authority. That's what surrender means. To cease resistance to an opponent and to submit to their authority. So real submission does not stop with, I have decided that I am going to cease resisting you. That's not surrender. To surrender means I have chosen to stop resisting you and I have chosen to begin to submit to your authority. So when we think about ourselves, when our will supersedes God's will, then he is my opponent. When my way supersedes God's way, he is my opponent. When my wants supersede his wants for my life, he is my opponent. You see, when our word supersedes God's word, then he becomes our opponent. And so if we have such an opponent, then we need to surrender. Because I cannot surrender to something that is not my opponent. I am not going to surrender to my own countrymen. I will only surrender to my opposition. So if the Lord asks us to surrender, which he does, then he is choosing to ask us to surrender to our opponent. And that would be him. You see, we oppose God at so many points in our lives. I've discussed just a few. Our will, our way, our wants, our word, our desire. We could go on and on with the list of ways that we try to supersede God. And when we do, we immediately call God our opponent. You would say, well, Pastor Noah, hey, he's not my opponent. But in actuality, he is. If anything that we do has a desire to be greater than what he has already instructed us, then he becomes our opponent. And so we need to surrender. So we start here with the life of Joseph. And it says when he died, made mention of the bones. And it goes on. And so we're reminded immediately. We're told to study Joseph. And again, as even just the other day on Wednesday night, we're looking in the book of Proverbs, and we came across the word abomination. And I encouraged you, and I don't know, maybe some of you did, maybe you didn't, but I encouraged you. Someone says, I don't know how to study the Bible. I'm not a good student of the Bible. How do I begin? I gave you a great opportunity on Wednesday night. Take that word abomination and look in the book of Proverbs only at what abomination means to the Lord. You read a verse today. If you read the proverb of the day, you read about abomination today. See, there are so many things that we do that are an abomination to God. We like to call out certain ones and talk about how they're an abomination before the Lord. But there's a great deal more than that. So you come to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you find these characters. And when you begin studying them, you find fascinating things about their life. We could go back, I'll not have you, you could write down if you're taking notes, Genesis 37, where when the father of Joseph is saying, listen, your brothers are at Shechem, and would you go, and would you, I'm looking for someone, I need you to take some provision to them. And Joseph makes the statement, here am I. Here am I. He surrendered immediately. You see, he would have had the option of saying, well, look for someone else, Dad. I'm busy. I'm tending sheep. I've got sheep to watch. Don't ask me to do something. You already asked me to do this job. Now you're asking me to do another job. Make up your mind, Dad. You ever felt like saying that to your, well, maybe you're not your dad, but maybe you did, but maybe your employer. You ever felt like that? Make up your mind. You tell me to do that. Now you tell me to do this. Make up your mind. It's like your employer at that point. And maybe your parent becomes that opponent to you. And so you have to make a decision. Am I going to surrender? And so we look at the Word of God and we realize that so many times we could find ourselves opposing God, but we must surrender. I think of Samuel in 1 Samuel where he says the very same words, here am I. I think of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter number 6 when Isaiah says the very same words, here am I. Here am I. In other words, Lord, I surrender. Dad, I surrender. Whoever it is that was my opposition at one point, I am ceasing from my opposition, from my resistance to you, and I am willing now to submit to your authority. That's real surrender. You see, there are numerous ways that God can get, or that God can become our opponent, but every single one of them are due to our actions. It's never because of God. We know that. It's because of us. We choose to have an opposition, a stance against God. These Jewish men had chosen God as their opponent. And in fact, we read many times in Scripture. Let me read to you Acts 7, verse number 51, where Paul was preaching. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. By the way, I'm sorry. It was Stephen. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. We read about individuals in the Bible who chose as their opponent God. And as Stephen, they stoned Stephen for it. Boy, they were cut to the heart for what he was preaching. Your fathers, they were stiff-necked. They resisted God. They were the opponent of God Almighty, just like you are. Oh, they hated him. They ran upon him. They stoned him to death. And Paul, the writer here of Hebrews, Paul stood and consented unto their death and cheered them on because he believed that Stephen was the opponent rather than, of course, having the understanding that Stephen was God's man. See, our resistance should always be against Satan rather than God. James tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So our resistance is misplaced if our opponent becomes God. Now we cannot submit. We're talking about surrender, but we cannot submit until we are fully surrendered. To surrender is to stop what I'm doing. But to submit means to start doing what God wants. Now we're looking at surrender here. And with the understanding that I will cease my resistance and I will submit to your authority. I must stop my opposition to you, Lord. I've got to stop my opposition. As a pastor, I preach, let's stop our opposition to God. Let's stop opposing God. When God's word speaks, let's have it speak to us. Let's stop opposing God and let's start submitting to Him. But we have some enemies that will creep up here. And when we begin looking at the life of Joseph, we begin to understand that. In Hebrews 11, look at verse number 22 again. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. The children of Israel. The first enemy that I want to speak about is the enemy of family. Now please hear me out. Don't turn me off already. The enemy of family. You see, family isn't the problem. When I say that the enemy of family, I'm not talking about the family is the problem. Oh, you may have some difficult family members, I understand. But the family isn't the problem, but occasionally your family stops you from doing what you know God wants you to do. Your family stops you. And this could be taken in many, many different ways. Your family may directly oppose you from following God's will. Your family may be the reason that you choose to oppose God and His will. See, those are two different things. One, you say, Lord, I'm surrendered to do your will. However, my family is directly stopping me. My family is opposing me. On the other hand, you're saying, perhaps your family is more than willing for you to follow God's will, but you are saying, because of my family, I don't want to surrender. Because of what it might mean for my family. What it may mean for my wife. What it may mean for my children. For me to submit to your Lord will, that may mean a hardship for my family. And you can understand here at this point, we're talking about faith for surrender. And sometimes our family becomes that enemy. Our family becomes that opponent. Not that they're wrong, but sometimes, again, especially in the light over here, where you say, Lord, I'm not willing to do what you're leading me to do because I know it's going to have a repercussion on my family. Well, I think of missionary families that are willing to follow God in faith, and I thank God for it. I don't ever want to overlook the fact that they're willing to follow God in faith, knowing that it's going to be difficult for a family. It's not going to be easy. For the children. It won't be the easiest for the wife. Many, the missionaries that we support, a great deal of them are on fields where you can't just run to the local Walmart. You can't just go down here to the local grocery store. Everything that you have was killed that day and you went to the market and it's all of what we see. You know, we watch the videos and the missionary family will do their absolute best to portray the burden that God has placed upon their heart. And they're asking for us to see the same burden. You see, a missionary family is willing to say, I surrender, Lord. I surrender my will to yours. And I would say that there's probably not a single missionary family, but first that man that was called by God had a hesitant reply. Lord, I'm not sure that I'm willing to do this. I'm not sure that I'm ready to do this because it's going to affect my family. It's going to be difficult for my children, for my wife. It's going to be difficult for my parents. It's going to be difficult that my parents aren't going to get to see their grandchildren. They're not going to be around. Oh, Lord, I don't know. And I'm sure that every missionary has gone through that at some point. You see, the enemy of family can crop up. Occasionally, your family wants to stop you. Occasionally, your family opposes you. And occasionally, your family doesn't believe what you believe. We're looking at Joseph. Joseph in Genesis 37 dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or thou shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And then when he went and recounted the dreams that he had to his mom and his dad, they also looked and scowled at him. You see, family became a problem for Joseph. But he was willing to surrender in spite of his family. See, family can be wonderful. Family is wonderful. Let me say it like that. But sometimes family can be an obstacle. And I don't mean that in the wrong way. Please understand my heart. Please understand my heart. But we're given enough examples in Scripture. And we're studying Joseph. And Joseph had a heart after God. Joseph had a desire to serve the Lord. He wanted to surrender to God's will, but his family stood directly in his path. Family can be the reason that some won't surrender. Some might say, "Well, My husband won't let me." Dear husband, don't be that man that won't let your wife surrender. Maybe it's a wife that say, "Well," or I'm sorry, a man that would say, "Well, I would, but my wife." Dear ladies, don't be that lady that is the reason that your husband is reluctant to surrender to God. "Well, my mom told me not to," because don't be that parent. I don't want to be the parent that stands in front of my children and says, "No. No, don't go there." Now, I thank the Lord, I can be honest before you, I do not personally know anyone that has ever stood directly in front of their children and said, "No, I won't give you my blessing to go be a missionary or to go be a pastor or to." I don't personally know, but I do know this. I know men who have pastored individuals who have done that with their children and stopped their children from serving God. Let's not be that kind of a parent. My children, I would love to serve the Lord, but my children, and could I encourage our young people here today, don't be that child. You see, family can be a giant that stands in our way of surrender. It's going to take faith for anyone to surrender to God. Anyone who is fully surrendered to God does it by faith and by faith alone. But family can be the obstacle. Family can stand in the way. Let's not realize that. Listen, no honest person. When we read in Luke 14, where it says, "If any man come to me," these are the words of Jesus Christ. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Those are the words of Christ. Now, no honest person would believe that the Lord is instructing us to hate our parents, hate our children, but rather the Lord is saying, "I need you to love me so much that it seems like the love that you have for your parents, for your brethren and sisters, and yea, even for your own life, it seems like your love is so small compared to the love that you have for me." You see, that's what God is asking of us, to love Him that much, that the love that we have for anyone else pales in comparison. Those are difficult words. All of the words of Jesus Christ were not easy words to swallow. That's why the disciples in John 6 looked at Him and said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And in John 6:6:6, many of His disciples walked away and followed Him no more. John 6, verse 66, tells us that many of His disciples, because of the words that were hard to swallow, Jesus was teaching that He was the bread of life and that they were to drink or eat of His blood, flesh and drink of His blood. He wasn't teaching cannibalism. He was teaching the type, the symbol of His blood was spilt and His body was broken on the cross, and that for someone to be saved, they must come through Jesus Christ. He wasn't teaching, come up here and tear off a piece of my flesh and eat it. And for the dear man that I spoke with yesterday, that was steeped in the religion of Catholicism, believed wholeheartedly in transubstantiation, that the very wafer of the Eucharist and the very wine of the Eucharist literally turns into the very body and blood of Jesus Christ within him when he partakes of it. And that's not taught anywhere in Scripture. I'm not here to pick a fight. I'm not here to make anyone mad. I'm here to tell you what the Bible does say as opposed to what it doesn't say. And so our love for God, they're going to be hard things to swallow. Lord, you want me to love you so much that it seems like I hate my own family and even my own life? And God would say, yes, that's what I'm asking of you. I want your love to be so deep for me that it seems like the love for everyone else pales in comparison. You know, I might say to you, oftentimes, you know, many times you'll be leaving the church or something. Maybe you're one of the last ones to linger around or something. And I'll say, oh, folks, we'll see it. And I'll say, listen, I love you. Thank you very much for being part of our church. I love you. And I tell you from the pulpit, I love you. And I genuinely do. I genuinely love you. But I promise you this, I don't love you like I love my wife. I don't love you like I love my children. I love you, but my love for my family supersedes my love for you. You understand that. You may love me as your pastor, and I thank you for that. But I understand your love for your family is going to supersede your love for me. I have no doubt about that. And so we take that comparison and we say, Lord, my love for you, honey, I love you. Children, I love you. But my love for God supersedes my love for you. But many times family will stand in the way of someone saying, I surrender. I surrender. Sometimes our families have hurt us to the point where we're not willing to surrender to God because our family hurt us. To which I would have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your family hurt you. I'm sorry that something has happened in your past. But faith never looks at the past. Faith never looks at history. Faith only looks at that which is yet to come. So I can say you can have faith to surrender to God irregardless of what your past is. Because God's not asking for you to have faith about back there. He's asking you to have faith about up there. What's in front of you that God has that if you would be willing to say, I will overlook what has happened in my family and I will surrender to God 100%. What is God going to do with you? What is God going to do with you? We have a second enemy that we meet about with Joseph here, and that's the enemy of fame. If you look there in verse number 22 again at the end, it says, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. He gave commandment. You see, Joseph had become a great leader among the Egyptians and, by the way, among those in the surrounding area. He'd become a great leader in the area. Joseph. Why, everyone knew Joseph. Everyone knew about him. Listen, he had this particular, at the end of his life, he in Egypt, he had all of the land of Goshen, and Pharaoh had allowed all of his family members to move there and to live there, and everyone knew. Why, it was Joseph that they went to for 7 years, and they gave all of their grain to, they gave all of their storehouse, and then for the next 7 years, they came to him, and they said, oh, listen, wise Joseph, we need now to buy from you, we need to purchase back. It was a taxed system. We understand that. Listen, you give, you storehouse up, and then when the famine comes, we're going to have something for you. And Joseph was the one in charge, so everyone knew Joseph. And now, at the end of his life, he gave command concerning his bones. From that, we can understand that he was a man of notoriety. He was a famous individual. And therein can lie the problem. The enemy of fame. You think about Joseph. He interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. in Genesis 41. He accumulated much fame in the land. In fact, it says in Genesis 45, "And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants." He had fame in the land. But that can be a problem. See, fame isn't always good for everyone. In fact, in 2 Chronicles, we read about another individual. In chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, "When the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she commanded with him that all that, communed with him all that was in her heart." And it goes on, it talks about it. She realized that all that were under the courtship of Solomon were very pleasant. They were very happy. But the fame of Solomon did him in. The fame of Solomon was Solomon, the wisest man ever to walk this earth. But yet his fame was his demise. His fame. Why, it would only be a famous man that could possibly have 300 wives. "Hey, sweetheart, will you marry me?" "You already have 299 wives. You know who I am?" "Yes." "All right." Believe me, you've got to have a lot of fame, I guess, to be able to figure that out. But his fame was his demise. Oh, Solomon did not stand up very well to fame. The more famous we become, the more difficult it is to surrender to the Lord's will. The more famous we get. And by the way, there's something that always is said in conjunction with fame. It also starts with the letter F, and it's always called fortune. Fame and fortune. And both of them are just as ugly. Both of them will be just as much of an enemy against the will of God and against your faith for surrender. But there's a third one that I want us to see out of the life of Joseph. If you look there again in verse number 22, it says, "By faith, Joseph." Joseph. There's the enemy of failure. Joseph was a failure. Now, I thank the Lord he didn't end his life that way. But if you're honest with yourself, you would have to admit, yeah, there are times when Joseph, I guess more than anything, he could look at himself and say, am I this much of a failure? You think about the fact that his brothers sold him into slavery. Could you imagine that you're laying there at the bottom of the pit? They're talking about killing you. They decided not to kill you, but rather to sell you over here to the Ishmaelites. And so now you've gone from the pit and now you're sold to the Ishmaelites. And you think, am I this much of a failure? What is it about me that my brothers hate so much? I just want to serve the Lord. God's given me this ability. Whatever ability it is that God has given to you, if you want to use it for the Lord, there are going to be someone that's going to fight against you. Joseph had the ability to interpret dreams. God gave him that. He used it repeatedly in Scripture. But his brethren, they hated him for it. And Joseph could easily have said, man, I'm a failure. He's coming. He's got food. Hey, guys, I got some grub. Got some provision here for you. And they knock him down. They drag his, they rip his coat off. And they take him over and they throw him down into a pit. What'd I do? How dare you tell us you're better than us? Then we're going to bow down to you one day. All your dreams. Hey, you know what? Let's sell him. They sell him, and now here he is a slave. But God uses him. He rises up in Potiphar's house. Now in Potiphar's house, he's second only to Potiphar himself. Mrs. Potiphar comes in and has wrong words with him. And he says, how can I do this against God? And he got him out. And of course, because of it, he was sent to prison. Joseph could look at himself and say, what in the world is going on? Why am I again found to be a prisoner? And so he spends these years in prison. And the Bible tells us, as it came to pass, that the butler and the baker, that they were cast into prison as well. And both of them had a dream. And Joseph said, well, listen, I can interpret. And so he did. He interpreted one. He said, listen, you're going to be reestablished. The king's going to love you again. The other one said, what about me? What about me? Joseph said, not so much for you. Not going to go well for you. And of course, just as he said, the baker, his head was taken off. And the butler, he was promoted back to the same position. And Joseph, I'm sure as the butler was leaving, he said, hey, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me when the king sends. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Got you. What's your name again? Yeah, good, good, good. 2 years go by. He forgot about him. And the king dreams a dream. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the butler says, there's that guy. Oh, I don't know his name. In prison. He could probably help you. You see, can you imagine for those 2 years? That guy told me that he would remember me. What's going on? To the security guard. Hey, the butler. You know the butler? Yeah, I know the butler. Does he ever mention me? No. Why would he mention you? He said he would. You see, we realize that oftentimes we see failures, but God doesn't see failure like we see it. God doesn't see failure. That's why I can say let's have faith beyond our failure. Our failures are not looked at the same as what God has. Just as much as fame can be an enemy against surrender, so too can failure. We're consumed with our failures. We dwell on them. We relive them, and often we can't move past them. We can't get past them. Oh, but praise God, He moves past them. Amen. I am grateful that God goes past him. Psalm 103, verse number 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Jeremiah 31, for I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Oh, praise God. That I could do that would be a blessing from God. Listen, there are times that, in fact, just even yesterday, I think it was Nathan was talking to me. He says, well, don't you remember, Dad, this and this and this and this? I'm like, man, was I there? I don't remember. He's like, man, you're forgetful, Dad. I'm like, yeah, I'm an old man. Wish I could forget my sin as easily as I forget names. But wouldn't that be a blessing? But God doesn't have a problem with forgetting our sin. Oh, I thank the Lord. You see, if Joseph had allowed himself, he could easily have said that he was a failure. Knocked down too many times. But Joseph had an advantage. By the way, he had the same advantage that we have. Romans 8, 31 and 38 and 39 says, for what shall we say to these things if God be for us? Who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, failure is not something that God knows about. And He looks at our failure as a reason for us to see His strength. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Failure is just showing my weakness and the time that I need God. So, dear Lord, will you allow me, Lord, will you allow me to have faith to move beyond my failure? Joseph did. I'm grateful for it. He gives us such perfect example of an individual who is willing and able to see God can move him past his failure to be used in an unbelievable way. You see, these are three areas that we can read and learn about the life of Joseph. He was willing to surrender to God. Now, are you? Are you willing to say, you know what, my family, even though my family may oppose me at times, my surrender is to God, and I surrender. Are you willing to say that even though fame and fortune may be my lot, I'm willing to move beyond that, and I'm willing to be used by God? And maybe you say, well, I've never had fame, nor have I had fortune, but I've had a lot of failure. Would you be willing to say that God has never seen the failure that I see? God still looks at me. You see, we're children. Amen? When we're saved, I become a child of God. Could you imagine Could you imagine your little boy? He gets to the point where he's crawling. And then he pulls himself up on the, and he's up there, and you're like, oh, he's about to walk, he's about to walk. And he takes a step, and you're like, he takes a step, and boom, he hits the floor. I knew the kid couldn't walk. I can't believe that failure. You won't treat your children like that. God won't treat us like that either. Oh, I thank the Lord for it. Let's have faith for surrender. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you so much for loving us the way that you do. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see that you have faith in us, Lord. Lord, we've seen it before. I've rehearsed it in our ears before. You have faith more than we have faith in us. Lord, I pray that we would take that faith. We would realize that you're asking us to surrender. Dear God, even though there may be obstacles, and Lord, there will certainly be opponents, Lord, I pray that we would be willing to say, God is not one of my opponents. And we would submit to you. Lord, this morning perhaps there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that they would make that decision today, that they would come to know Christ. This morning, with your heads bowed, your eyes are closed, please, would you listen to this question? I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And no one's looking around right now. Here's the question. If you can say, Pastor Sears, I know that I'm saved. I remember the day that I was born again. I could give you a Bible reason as to why I would go to heaven. Listen to the question. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up all across the auditorium? I know I'm saved. I have no doubt about it. I remember the day that I was saved. I remember it. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Now, some of you couldn't raise your hand. I hope that it wasn't because you were asleep, but maybe it was because you don't know. Maybe you would say, Pastor Sears, I don't know where I would go. If I died right now, I have no idea where I would spend eternity. I don't know if it would be heaven. I hope it would be, but I don't know. If that's you, would you slip your hand up even now and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I don't know, but I need to know, and I want to know. Would you slip your hand up, anyone at all, even right now? Oh, would you just pray for me? Now, Lord, I pray you would help us this morning. Lord, I'll not ask for a showing of hands of who needs to surrender. But, Lord, I pray that if there's one here that needs to surrender to your will, Lord, I pray that they would lift their heart to you and they would be willing to say, here am I, send me. Lord, I beg you for this. Have the Holy Spirit be very real in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, if you would, to your feet. I'm going to ask the piano.